Joining us now from FanSided, he is Jason Cole as we get to NFL divisional round weekend. How's it going, Jason? How are you?
Life is beautiful. What's going on, guys?
Not too much. It's a good weekend to get excited for. We've been talking a lot about it so far, and the Colts, how much of the magic can they keep going into Arrowhead on tomorrow?
Well, they have a tremendous amount of momentum, obviously. You win 10 out of 11 games. You're doing something right, and you believe in yourself. I mean, the problem is that, look, I think Kansas City has a huge advantage in terms of their big playability in this game. And with Mike Mitchell out, I think, and Malik Hooker being hurt, I have a feeling that Kansas City is going to do a pretty good job of taking advantage of that as much as possible. The real question for the Colts is, can they put up a lot of yards against the Chiefs' sieve-like defense? And that's probably true. I just think that the Chiefs do a decent enough job of holding teams to field goals occasionally and keeping them under control. They're a little bit better team inside the 20 in the red zone than Houston was. Houston was terrible inside the red zone. It showed last week. So I think this game comes down to Kansas City gets a couple of possessions where they get touchdowns and the Colts end up with field goals. And that's where you're looking at a 6 to 9 to 10 point difference, something like that.
Let's keep it moving on here and go to the night game in LA. You got your Cowboys and Rams. So if the Cowboys play.
Not my Cowboys. Don't put that
on. Oh, sorry. Not your Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys and the LA Rams. But if you were to look at this team and they play the similar type of game against, like they played against the Seattle Seahawks, is the success rate going to be like it was against Seattle, basically?
I don't see it. I think the Rams win this game. I don't think that they win it easily because I think that the Cowboys have the best defense left in this thing. And I think that it's shown up on a pretty consistent basis. You know, if you saw how they played at home against New Orleans earlier this season, you've seen how they played more often than not this year as Vander Esch and Jalen Smith really sort of come into their own as players. So to me, I just get the feeling that this is going to be a much tougher game. And if Dallas can keep the game under control with Ezekiel Elliott and hit enough third down passes to Amari Cooper, then they got a chance in this one. But look, still overwhelming, the Rams are a terrific team. They've struggled here some in the last quarter of the season, primarily because of the loss of Cooper Kupp at wide receiver, and that's not going to change. But I think that over the last couple of weeks, they sort of got themselves, you know, figured out in terms of, okay, who's the receiver that I need to go to? You know, for Jared Goff, who's he going to go to instead of going to Kupp on a consistent basis?
Jason Cole, our guest now over in Foxborough. It's the LA Chargers are such an interesting team because they've done so well on the road this year, Jason. Uh-huh. But at the same time, like I'm just not conditioned to think that a team can keep going East Coast back to the West Coast, then fly back East and still come away with victories each and every time. It's at some point the road factor is gonna have an effect on LA, is it not?
I mean, you would think so, but they're 8-0 outside of Los Angeles County.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, their one road loss was against the Rams in the Coliseum. So, and that's not really a road game.
Yeah.
So, I think this team, at this time of the year, all the talk about wear and tear and all that kind of stuff, I think you're having too much fun and there's too much energy there. And you don't care about it. Now, there are times when it's a little bit different. Yeah, short week situation. You know, I've seen teams wear out, but that's usually when they're playing against a far superior team. Like I saw the Dolphins one year. They went to Seattle. They won a game there in the playoffs. That's back when the Seahawks were still in the AFC. They turned around. They played in Jacksonville the following Saturday, and they just got trucked. I mean, absolutely trucked by Jacksonville in that game. But Jacksonville was also a whole heck of a lot better than them. I mean, it was kind of a joke what the difference was between the two teams. So to me, the advantage here is the Chargers have a better team, especially the banged up receiving core that the Patriots have. You know, like, who's the threat? I mean, if you're San Diego's defense, who are you really, really worried about? I mean, they're better defensively, I think, than Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh just really controlled New England, 3 weeks ago, or, you know, 3 weeks with 3 weeks left in the season. So, to me, the Chargers should be able to win this. They should go in thinking they're the better team. Unfortunately, that's never happened in the Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady era, but it should.
Yeah, Jason, finally the last game of the weekend, Nick Foles and his Philadelphia Eagles heading into New Orleans. Is this the time where Nick Foles and whatever magic potion he was drinking finally comes to an end?
Yeah, this is reality. They lost by 40 the last time. Now, I don't expect them to lose by 40 again. But Philly, you know, it's one thing to stop, you know, Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy when they're playing conservative in Chicago in a game, and you barely survive. I mean, you get by with a double doink field goal, whatever they want to call that in Chicago. I mean, it's one thing for that to happen. It's another thing to go into New Orleans and stop Drew Brees and that passing attack. And not that I think that passing attack is quite as good as what we saw in the first 10 games of the season. People sort of figured him out and said, okay, look, we're going to take Michael Thomas away from you, and then we're going to force you to try and get the ball to Kamara a lot in the passing game, which he's good, but, you know, we think we can kind of keep under control as long as Thomas isn't killing us because you don't have another receiver who can do it. You know, I think there's ways of keeping New Orleans under control a little bit better. Philly can't do it on a consistent enough basis to keep this game within 14 points. So I see this as a two touchdown roll for the Saints, especially in that place where it gets so loud.
Outside of the games this weekend, it's kind of become the running joke, Jason, the whole Sean McVay factor around the league. It's, if you have some kind of tie to Sean McVay, you're maybe guaranteed a head coaching job somewhere, it seems like, at least. What do you make
if you were his caddy at the Encino Country Club, you'd probably get a job in the NFL right now.
Is this like a lack of creativity around the league in terms of going out and finding a head coach?
It's not a lack of creativity. It's a lack of understanding what it takes. I mean, everybody just gloms onto either statistical success or winning, or both. And not that that's necessarily wrong, but they don't examine the factors behind that. Okay. And why a team necessarily wins or loses, or what makes a person tick. Sean McVay is special. I mean, he's a really, really, truly special human being who not only is incredibly passionate about being a head coach in the NFL, but he's also from a family that taught him how to do this. Like, one of the smartest things he ever did was his first hire was getting Wade Phillips, right? Well, he went and got a guy who was almost 40 years older than him, because he knew he had to have somebody with coaching experience who ran the defense, who had confidence, you know, understood everything. Not everybody sees that kind of a plan. And the other part of it is sometimes you're surrounded by great players and you're fortunate to do that, but then you go somewhere else and you may not have the creativity to make those guys better. And sometimes you are around, you know, decent players to bad players and you make them good, but maybe not good enough to really get recognition. So to me, this is just a factor. If you got a lot of people who own teams, who make decisions like this, who don't really understand football. And because as a good friend of mine, Brian Wiedmeyer, God rest his soul, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he's a great executive in this league for a long time, close to three decades. He once told me, he looked at me in the eye, he goes, "The problem with NFL teams is they do not come with owner's manuals."
Sportsnet 650.